We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Every soul is a candle.
You have to know that in life.
Every soul is a candle of God. Sent down to this world for your special corner of the world. Sent down to this world, yeah, to bring some light.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Timmon. We've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we will be interviewing Bruce Spearer, who is involved with a very special project. I know we should be talking about Pesach, but we're actually going to be talking about what's going to be happening on Rosh Hashanah and further, because the next Jewish year is a sabbatical year. And Hazon, with whom Mr. Spearer is involved, is really organizing this really wonderful project to get the word out about the sabbatical year, and they're giving people 6 months to do it. It's a really wonderful, wonderful thing. We've got wonderful music dispersed throughout the show. The portion of the week is the portion of Vayakhel Pekudei, which can be found in the book of Exodus, chapter 35 and following. We've got a wonderful Hasidic story, great Hasidic story, really poignant, at the end of the hour. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israel accused Iran of environmental terrorist for its part in the oil spill that contaminated 100 miles of Israel's 120-mile coast last week. The ship in question was a Libyan pirate ship that left Iran 2 days before the spill. Most of the spill was contained before it hit the shore. All Israelis will be allowed to return to Israel without the need for approval from the Exceptions Committee. Unvaccinated people will need to be quarantined. Unvaccinated Israelis who apply to leave Israel will still be required to obtain approval from the committee. Israel is still closed to non-Israelis. I don't think Pesach is just such a big thing for them, but anyway, they didn't have it last year, not going to have it this year. Israel announced more than 90% of its citizens over 50, age 50, have received the vaccine. A man armed with a knife tried to attack a Jewish school and a kosher supermarket in Marseille, France. The suspect was arrested and an investigation is underway. A kosher restaurant in Amsterdam that had been targeted for multiple anti-Semitic attacks over the years was vandalized again. There are many restaurants on that street, but this is the only restaurant to be attacked. And finally, some good news. A group of 197 South American Jews finally arrived in Israel after the immigrants' planned arrival was delayed 40 days. These were people that were stuck in Sao Paulo for 40 days because of the closure of Ben Gurion Airport and the COVID restrictions. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Schulfenman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We're online with Mr. Bruce Spear from Hazon, national organization. We're not just talking local, we're talking national Hazon. We've had many representatives from Hazon on the program over the years and feature some of the wonderful things that they've done. They've come up with a really interesting program. I don't think anybody else has ever thought about doing this, and we'll let Bruce speak about it. We're going to talk about the sabbatical year, of all things. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Rabbi. It's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure indeed. Okay, so for the uninitiated, tell us what the Shemitah, or sabbatical year, is.
So the Shemitah year is it's a moment in Jewish time that's a parallel to Shabbat for years, right? So once a week, we have Shabbat, we take a rest. And then similarly, every 7 years, we're asked to take a bigger rest as a society. And that occurs a few places in the Torah. And it's something that happens in a cycle every 7 years. And we get to step back and look at how we relate to our land, how we're relating to each other. And it's something that we talk about a lot in Israel. But we often don't have a conversation about it outside of Israel. And at Hazon, we really think that this is a real fertile area for us to think about how to respond to the climate crisis.
Okay, it's true. Usually when we're talking sabbatical year outside of Israel, the only thing we're talking about is that there won't be any Carmel wine vintage 2022. And you have to worry, when you buy your esrog, you're actually buying your lulav, and they give you the esrog for free. And but in Israel, it is a big deal. I have relatives in Israel, and for them, it's like, it is a big deal. So what is the big deal? It doesn't really affect outside of Israel. It's the idea of allowing the land to lie fallow, which means they don't cultivate, do any kind of commercial cultivation of farming. So, but what are the ramifications in Israel? And then how are we going to, it's two questions, we'll break it up. And how do we do with that outside of Israel then, Bruce?
Yeah, so for the Shemitah Project, the broader conversation that we're organizing, we want to really focus on what are the underlying values of the Shemitah year. So in Israel, we can't sow seed, we can't harvest crops, we need to allow others to enter our vineyards and our agricultural land to harvest whatever is growing. And then also we need to forgive any debts that may be outstanding coming into that year. So outside of Israel, there's nothing by Jewish law that commands us per se, but there's some really important compelling values that really underlie this whole conversation. That every 7 years, we're asked to step back and look at how are we relating to our land? How are we using resources? Who are we giving these resources to? Who are we providing or denying opportunities based on what money or other debts they owe to us in society? So outside of Israel, it gives us a place to step back and take a breath. And with all these overwhelming challenges that are growing with the climate crisis, we get to look back and say, in the last 7 years, what have I done? How has my relationship, my resources, and others worked? What do we want to do in the next coming 7 years? So it's a way that we can mark time beyond just the week, but into a broader scale for 7 years. So as individuals, as institutions, as a society, we could really start thinking about the bigger picture of the world that we want to build.
Okay, that's pretty impressive. One of the major focuses of the sabbatical, in addition to the fact that we're going to allow the land to rest and the minerals will rejuvenate during that time as all the weeds will grow and then all that stuff will get put back into the earth, is to give the farmers a sabbatical. Now, people know about, you know, professors take sabbatical, and I really wish I could take a sabbatical and go take off and not work for a year and engage in some sort of an academic study. But the idea is that very much we don't want our farmers to turn into, the way they say farmer in Yiddish is a Feldman. Okay, we don't want them to be field people. We don't want to have them have their heads in the dirt. We want to have them, they should, you know, we're Jews, they should be involved in their, at least 7 years, take a time off and go study Torah and, they, you know, reacclimate oneself with Judaism that way, rather than just the dirt that's under one's fingernails. If you could comment on that, please, Bruce Spearer.
Yeah. I think that really gets to the core of the conversation that we want to have, is it brings up, what does it mean to really enjoy rest? What are the conditions that we need to create in order to enjoy rest? So in the example you were giving about the farmers, I think that's also something that in our modern world, a lot of us are not working on the land, right? A lot of us, you know, there's only a small percentage of us, but we're getting our daily bread from a different source. So what are the boundaries, the guidelines, the social supports we need so we could take that sabbatical every 7 years? So even if I am a rabbi in Ferndale, you know, I need to, what do I have to do to create space for me to take that sabbatical? So we could do things like engage in spirituality or spend more time with our family or really work on the issues that maybe I'm focused so much on the daily work that I can't step back and think about the big picture of my life and my community's life, my society's life.
Okay, what's the impetus? Hazon is, when I think Hazon, I think of initiatives like farm to table and food justice and environmentalism. Where's the push? Where's the emphasis from coming from in Hazon? What's the rationale behind pushing the concepts for Shemitah, Bruce Spearer?
So we think that in general, right, we're in the middle of a climate crisis. People feel overwhelmed. And we ask, what can we do to make a difference? And we really believe that the Jewish tradition compels us to respond. And not only that, but there's a lot of different elements of the Jewish tradition that can provide us with different ways to move forward and feel empowered. And one aspect of that is the Jewish calendar. And the Jewish calendar is a very powerful ritual for us that we're all very aware of, but it has some underlying values that Hazon we feel like we could lift up. And Shemitah specifically brings up a lot of questions about our relationship with the land, with
recording the radio show. I'll call you back in an hour.
And a lot of those questions are unresolved. So it's not saying, here's Shemitah, here's the plan for the perfect sustainable world. It's saying, hey, you know what? I want you to not grow food for the year. And then it raises the question, well, then what am I supposed to eat? And then, you know, how do we then go ahead and compensate other people that normally would be doing that work? And it raises a lot of deep questions and allows us to examine the real foundations of our society. And so one of the reasons why we picked up Shemitah is because it's an area that has a lot of potential to be thought about and is not often discussed historically. But it brings up so many important questions about the intersection of our relationship with the land, our relationship with each other. And again, it really expands that horizon from just weekly, monthly to a cycle of every 7 years. So we really get to step back and think in a bigger way, bound within the Jewish tradition.
Okay, so the reason why we're bringing this up is because Hazon is starting an initiative, which is actually very exciting. When I got the letter and I forwarded it to my kids, who are like all into the program, they were like jumping up and down going, oh, the Shemitah Prize. So it's 6 months. Like I said in my introduction, we should be really talking about Passover because that's coming up like right next to you. If you ask any rabbi, what's the most important holiday in the calendar? They will say the next one. And so everybody's thinking Passover, and I tell people you got to sell your chametz, you know, shmura matzah, this type of stuff. So now all of a sudden we're focusing now, and you're bringing it up. It's 6 months until the holiday. What are we going to do for 6 months that we're initiating this project now, Bruce Spearer?
So that's really great, and I think it really emphasizes that talking about Shemitah forces us to expand our time horizons. You know, preparing for a year-long Shabbat-like event requires some planning. It requires me to think about it, you know, maybe 6 months now, but maybe the next year we'll start thinking 2 years out, 3 years out, maybe the full six-year cycle. But now we've launched the Shemitah Prizes, and it's a competition that's opened up to anyone. You don't have to be an artist. You don't have to be of a certain age. You don't have to be Jewish. We want to really make this an expansive conversation. And we feel that just about every area of Jewish life has some kind of ritual or marker to it, right? Pesach has matzah and seders. Even Shavuos, you know, is marked by eating dairy or staying all night studying. But the one area that does not have an explicit ritual associated with it is Shemitah. And if we're going to elevate the conversation about Shemitah and really bring it into the Jewish consciousness, into a broader consciousness, we need to engage at the level of ritual, at the level of art, and bringing a relationship out to the broader community. So we have five different categories, and people, the first one is for a ritual object, right? How are we going to mark the Shemitah year? So for example, if it's going to be a Seder plate, what would that plate look like? When do we use it? Are we just going to have it out during the Shemitah year? Or is it going to be out on Shabbos during the 6 years leading up to it? And you know, what are the ways that that can help us relate to the concepts and the ideas that Shemitah is really asking us about? And then we also have fine art. What are some sculptures or pictures or photographs that really embodies these ideas of Shemitah and marked it and allows us to be inspired by it? We also have film and videos, and the last Shemitah year, a lot of our partners put out some really beautiful video work that, again, gets people to think about what is the broader scale, what are the bigger values that Shemitah is asking us. And then the last two are is about performance art, liturgy, poetry, song, the rituals itself. What are the rituals that would mark and define Shemitah different from other times of our years? And the last is a category for essays and ideas. People that may not think of themselves as artists, but really have some ideas and thoughts they want to contribute, we have a special category for them. And submissions will be open until May 19th, just after Shavuot. And we'll be offering a prize awarded by independent judges, a grand prize for each of the five categories, as well as three additional awards.
So let me just see if we got this clear. So what this Shemitah project is, you're looking for people to express themselves creatively using their creative talents and to put it in some sort of a media, whether that be in an artistic manner, photography, video, creative writing, come up with some sort of a liturgical thing. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So are there, when you talk about the every person, there's five different categories. There's a monetary prize over here. We're not talking about just a certificate suitable for framing over here.
Yes, there's a monetary prize.
It's are we allowed to say what that monetary
Absolutely,
prize
is? Absolutely. Yeah. The winner in each category will be awarded $1,800.
That's a sizable chunk of change.
And then three additional awards will be in each category, $250.
Okay. Now, let's say the competition will be open to like everybody, but let's say you have somebody who's like Rembrandt is mm-hmm. going to now paint this Shemitah picture. And like, if I got myself a Rembrandt Shemitah picture, I was just like, wow, how is it the playing field going to be leveled among people? So like, if you're going to say, Rabbi Finman, I want you to paint a picture. Now, if I'm going to paint a picture, I think my kindergarten and granddaughter could do a better picture than I can. I just do not have artistic talent. But are we going to level a field? Are we actually looking for like Rembrandts to emerge and come up, and then everybody else should just be discouraged and say, I'm not a Rembrandt?
Yeah. So what I want to say is like, yes, this is a competition. People will be awarded prizes. There'll be winners. But the goal here is for us to share just about all the entries. We have a portal on our website, ShemitahProject.org, but we'll actually be featuring all the entries. So on the one hand, yes, we'll be selecting a winner of a prize, which may or may not be a professional artist, right? Because we want to, our judges will be basing on the quality of the submission and the artistry of it, but also, you know, in what ways does it really speak to the messages and the values, and it creates a conversation amongst the Jewish people. So that's one set, but also the real prize of this entire competition is that we're going to have lots of people thinking about Shemitah, and people will be able to showcase their work to anyone, because it's going to be a public forum where people actually see what's being presented. So we really encourage everyone to participate, whether or not you think about yourself as an artist, because everyone's ideas, thoughts, and visions is really going to add to the conversation and really bring up something new in how we relate to this tradition and how we could move forward as a community and relate to it.
Okay. Is there a junior division, or is it everybody gets thrown in the same pot?
So the prizes are only divided by the categories. So everyone will be judged within one category.
Okay, fair enough. Now, so this project is starting now. If I did something right now, is there where for me to submit it? And we'll talk about how to do that. So I could do something today, and I have until the middle of May.
Yes.
What's going to prevent this whole project from suffering from burnout between now and September 6th, which is when Rosh Hashanah is?
So you mentioned the Shemitah Project. So the Shemitah Project is actually a larger program that was launched in 2007, the two Shemitah cycles ago. And that project is really a partnership between many different organizations that want to talk about, teach about, and cultivate learning, understanding, engagement with the Shemitah tradition. The Shemitah Prizes are just one aspect of that. So the Shemitah Project, over the next 6 months into the Shemitah year, you could go to our website and you could see all the different educational offerings and different programming being offered around the world. And we're working with people both in North America, but as well as people in Israel and different parts of the globe, because this is really an international conversation. So we have we have 20 partners and growing that are excited and bringing up new conversations and topics about Shemitah. So this is not just one small conversation, but really seeing it grow and generating excitement across the community.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned before that the category number one was to create a ritual symbol. Like we have matzah on Pesach or Seder plate, and we have lulav and esrog for Sukkos. What's going to happen with, or what would you hope would happen with this, the winner's entry to this ritual thing? Because creating ritual in Judaism is really hard to like institute something new.
So there's I'll offer two examples that we talk about sometimes in our programming. So one is Kabbalat Shabbat is something that was really, you know, within the scope of, you know, the 2 to 3,000 years of our tradition is actually fairly young. Right. At some point, it was a new idea that was instituted, and now it's integrated as a part of our service that just feels like it's been there forever. Right. But we're only looking back to the
500 years. Yeah.
Right. But then similarly, you know, the Tu B'Shvat Seder, also a similar idea that has had an evolution over time. Right. It was instituted around the same time as Kabbalat Shabbat. But now we're seeing it picked up more and more in the last century or so. So ritual does have a history of being adopted and brought in over time. It's just a matter of people of the community having a really compelling reason, a spiritual reason that they want to bring out these aspects of our tradition, and we start practicing it. So, over time, as we generate this conversation, we hope to see these rituals and these ideas adopted by our community. And it's really projects like the Shemitah Prizes that are gonna start making this conversation bigger and more community-wide and making the climate crisis and our relationship with the environment a major feature of the Jewish world. One of our goals is that by 2029, that we see the majority of Jewish institutions have made work on the environment, sustainability, and climate change a central piece of their work. So in Chazon, we're really committed to these ideas and rituals becoming a major part of the Jewish life.
Okay, that is fascinating. I like that. That's a great idea. Last question, because we are running out of time for this section. It's now Rosh Hashanah 2022, and the sabbatical year is over, and Hazon is making an account, the Cheshbon HaNefesh, as it's called, you know, looking back. What would be how would you define success in this project, the Shemitah Project, Mark, Bruce?
So the Shemitah Project, I would say it's really seeing new programming, exciting ideas, and new engagement in the idea of Shemitah. right? Seeing local shuls and congregations talking about it, right? Asking for resources or creating their own resources. One of the really exciting things about the last Shemitah year is we created the Shemitah source book that brought together a lot of the traditional sources as well as modern resources. And one of the really exciting things is that we saw in the last 7 years, more and more other projects inspired by these ideas, making their own spin on Shemitah and bring it to their communities. I recently met with a rabbi in Canada, and they've been spending the last year and a half studying Shemitah. So just seeing more and more people engaging with the idea of Shemitah anew and using these values to engage in the very real challenges of the climate crisis. Using Shemitah as a way to let go of maybe the guilt or the inaction that we feel around it, and just, you know, assessing that, letting that go as a community, and saying, how can we use the ideas to just take one step forward? And seeing more and more people engaging with action on the climate crisis through the Shemitah lens in the Jewish tradition.
Okay, that's terrific. Okay, so now if people want to get involved, they want to find out more, how do they go about doing that, Bruce Spearer?
Sure. You could go to www.shemitahproject.org. That's spelled SHEMITAPROJECT.org. And you'll see on that page a link to the Shemitah Prizes. And all the information you need for the Shemitah Prize can be found there, as well as lots of resources and events about Shemitah learning in general.
Okay. Our guest today has been Bruce Spearer from Hazon. The National Organization of Hazon. They do all kinds of wonderful good things. We've had them on the show before. We want you to keep us apprised and let us know how this is going. Maybe some kind of announcement after May has who got what, and hopefully it'll one of the kids, I put a plug in, one of them will be a Finman. So they're probably of the nine Finmans who are capable, I think maybe you'll probably get like six entries. So they're into it. And keep us apprised, continue success.
Very exciting, and I'm excited to see the Finman submissions to the Shemitah Prize.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, one in six people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We've got, for your listening pleasure, up next, this is Yossi Rodal. The song is called Uplift.
We've existed so long because the Torah kept us strong. The Torah will never disappear. When all you see is night, just remember you are light. Uplift a friend, they'll make you smile. I'm a Jew and I'm proud, and I'll sing it out loud, 'cause forever that's what I'll be. I'm a Jew and I'm proud, and it's without a doubt, Hashem is always watching over me. I'm a Jew and I'm proud, and I'll sing it out loud with my brothers and sisters from CT. I'm a Jew and I'm proud, and it's without a doubt, Hashem is always watching over me. The last name sitting and my soul's evergreen. Don't underestimate the power of the youth.
I'm a Jew and I'm proud, and it's without a doubt Hashem is always watching over me. I'm a Jew and I'm proud, and I'll sing it out loud with my brothers and sisters from CT. I'm a Jew and I'm proud, and it's without a doubt Hashem is always watching over me. Lo mefached ki Hashem shomer alai. Hashem siempre está protegiéndome.
Why go anywhere else when you go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finn, and here you're listening to Jewish Hour. Up next, this song, unfortunately, it's a great song. And fortunately, for the reason that it was written, this is Baruch Shalom. The song is Keli Lama Azabtani, which is taken from the 22nd chapter of Psalms, which is Why God Have You Forsaken Us? And he wrote it in memory of his aunt, Hannah Horowitz, who happened to be a roommate of my wife's in college. And she passed away 2 weeks ago, already 3 weeks ago. So in memory of Hannah Horowitz, this is Keli Lama Azabtani.
Oh,
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We got time for one more. This is new guy on the block, Zalmi Schreiber. It's called Niggun Gaguyim, which means a song of yearning. It has no words. So you're going to wonder, how could a person sing a song of no words? Well, let's listen to Zalmi Schreiber do it. I don't hear anything.
go for it. I'm going to have to add the end to it and just cut off for some reason.
Okay, do you go to commercial?
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Herschel Finn here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. The portion this week, which will be read in the synagogue, is the portion of Vayakhel Pekudei. It's a double portion. It's really long. I believe it's 176 verses, making it the longest portion read during the year. It's in Book of Exodus, chapter 35, till the end of the book. Next week, we will be starting the Book of Leviticus. This week's portion is a repeat of two portions from 3 and 4 weeks ago, Truma and Tetzaveh. In Truma and Tetzaveh, the Jews were commanded to make a sanctuary, a portable sanctuary in the desert, and describes in great detail with the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and it's repeated pretty much word for word. Now, we have a rule that there is no extra letter in the Bible, and here we have what appears to be a whole two portions that are extra. And then the other question is related to the part of the prophets which is read, which is taken from the book of Ezekiel, which is this week is also Parshas HaChodesh, one of four special Shabbos readings, the last of the four. And the portion that of the prophets is to remind people of the upcoming holiday of Passover. And if it's actually read at the same time, there has to be a correlation between the portion of the week and the holiday of Passover. So we'll take the lesson of the portion of the week and tie it in with Passover, and hopefully we'll ever live happily ever after. The reason why the portion is repeated, or a repetition of previous portions, is in those portions 3 weeks and 4 weeks ago, it was a commandment, make such and such. In this week's portion, it's they actually made the sanctuary. And at the end of the making of the sanctuary, when it's all done, Moses made an account of where every penny went. He collected a lot of money. And every year I sit down with a class and we figure out how much it would cost to make this portable sanctuary. This year it's a little bit down, probably because of COVID. It would only cost about $82 million. To make this sanctuary. And Moses came up with detailed, right down to the last penny. It says there was a problem there and God had to show him why he couldn't balance the books and where his mistake, what he forgot to add in. But the main thing is that the portion is, there's a bottom line. Talking about something is a very good thing. Having a good idea is a very good thing. But ideas are not just to be ideas. They have to be implemented in order for it to be a good idea. Comes now the Passover holiday. Passover marks the birth of the Jewish people. Before the Exodus of Egypt, the Jews were a very large extended family, bunch of seventh cousins. With the Exodus and what they experienced, they were forged into the Jewish people. They became a reality. That's why it's so important in Judaism, this idea of going out of Egypt. There are probably close to 24 commandments that are based on the idea or the premise of remembering that we left Egypt. In addition to the keeping of Passover and the Passover Seder, there's also like reciting the Shema, wearing tzitzis, wearing tefillin, keeping the Sabbath. They all say, we're doing this to remind us that we left Egypt, because it is a pivotal point in Judaism, because it's when we started doing in practical, down to earth, bottom line. We talked earlier with Bruce Spearer about the idea of sabbatical being a time to reflect and plan for the future. Passover is a major time of the year for that. And we'll talk about this in the ensuing weeks. What are we going to do better than what we did good already? We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be back with the Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Fittman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The best way to do it, rabbifinman.com. You'll be able to contact me, and any question, comment, whatever it is, feel free. I'm good. I'm good with all of that. You'll also find archived editions of the radio show, other ways in which we present Judaism in a hopefully educational, entertaining way. There's also the donations page, which is helping keep the Jewish Hour, which has now, we're celebrating this week, our 25th anniversary. What are we going to do for it? I don't know. March has been, for the last dozen or so years, membership month. And if you send in a contribution of $36 to the Jewish Hour, we will send you a CD from the Jewish Hour collection. Or if you don't want that, tell us something that you would like, and we'll send some kind of promotional thing for you. And we always get a good return for that. So become a member of the Jewish Hour and become part of the family. You can do that at rabbifinman.com. Or if you don't like doing internet giving, fine. Drop your contribution to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. You could also check out, while you're at it, Jewish Ferndale, which is also a part of under the umbrella of the same organization that sponsors the Jewish Hour. And you can check out what we're doing, all kinds of things that are happening on Facebook. We have all these Facebook Live things, which are still there. You go to my Facebook page, which would be facebook.com/rabbi.finman. And we've got about 200 videos that are up there, absolutely wonderful stuff. And check those out and drop me a line. Let me know what you think about it. Always love feedback. Feedback is really important. And we'd like to hear from you. This story actually heard from the protagonist of the story. Her name is Shalama Saxon. For a long time, she lived in New York. Now she's living in Israel. She's a preschool teacher, I believe, or a teacher of elementary school. at her bat mitzvah, when she was 12 years old, she was told it's customary to write the Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe, and ask for a blessing. And she thought, that's fine, I can do that. But she thought it would be appropriate that since this is such a passage of, a rite of passage, the bat mitzvah, that now she's considered responsible for doing mitzvahs, she wanted to give the Rebbe a blessing as well. And she thought, what blessing could she give the Rebbe? Well, she knew that the Rebbe didn't have any children. So she's going to bless the Rebbe and his wife, the Rebbeson, with children, not being 12 years old, not really taking into account that he was 80 years old at the time. She was very shy about it, and she didn't know, first of all, does the Rebbe read his letters? Do the secretaries read the letters? So she wants the blessing, but nobody else should know about it. So she decided she's going to write the blessing after the letter, at the bottom of the letter, after she signs it, she's going to sign it in code. She's going to make up a code. And which in Hebrew, there are some very famous existant codes. The most famous one is Atbash, where you just switch the first letter for the last letter. So an Aleph becomes a Tav and a Beis becomes a Shin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's another one which is a little bit more complicated, where you take into the numerical value of each letter, so that the first nine letters are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The 10th letter is 10. The 11th letter is 20. Until you get to the, that goes 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. And then the next letter is 100, 200, 300, and 400. And what they would do with this system is they would chop off the zeros. So a tuf would equal a mem and a dalet. It would be the same letter. But so it would be a 4. But you change it around so that it would be the reciprocal adding up to 10. So a tuf would be a vav. Okay, it's called achbat. Atbach, that's it. An aleph becomes a tes, a base becomes a ches, et cetera, et cetera. So she wrote it in that system. The blessing that she blesses that the Rebbe and Rebbeson should have children. A couple days went by, and she got a letter dated the 6th of Tishrei, which is the anniversary of the passing of the Rebbe's mother, when he was definitely very busy. And he wrote her a letter that he's very happy to receive her letter, and that she should be a good influence on her friends and people around her, and be a living example for people wherever through the course of her lifetime, and wishes her great success. And then at the bottom, he signed it. Then at the bottom, there was this gibberish, and she didn't recognize exactly what this gibberish was. So she sold it to her older brother, who taught her about this code, this Atbach, and said, the Rebbe answered you in code. And it said, thank you very much for your blessing. It's greatly appreciated. And she writes, if we can have the music behind us, please, Luke. And she wrote, and she said, here's this Rebbe. He's an 80-year-old world leader who has many things on his mind. This is the time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's his mother's yahrzeit. And he stopped to figure out a coded message from a 12-year-old girl and saved and gave her prominence and said, this is really a special person. That's going to do it. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. Have you had a chance to educate you a bit? We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care. She are Yirakot, Halayla Hazeh.